In Psalm 32, verse 11, short psalm, this is David's repentant psalm. Earlier in the chapter, he said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." He was under conviction. "Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turning the drought of summer. Then hear, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." So David repented. David was a great saint, but he was also a great sinner. And he had great repentance and great restoration. David went about as low as anybody can go as a child of God. But God had mercy on him and restored him. And he wrote some of the sweetest music that's ever been written. And we have it here in the Psalms. And what a man of God he was. And then he closed out the psalm on a note of victory in verse 11. He said, "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Be glad in the Lord. There was a child in one of our Christian schools one day. The principal was a man by the name of Rainey. And the child said, "Mr. Rainey must go to heaven every night because his face shines so brightly every day." I wish we all had a testimony like that. The Burmese said of missionary Judson, they called him Mr. Glory Face, not Mr. Gory Face, but Mr. Glory Face, because of this genuine countenance that he had that seemed to shine for the Lord. Somebody said about Alexander Wythe, "He has a smile like a quarter acre of sunshine." May God help us to learn to be glad in the Lord. Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. So the psalmist put it this way, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous." Someone said that when you have a smile as a Christian, that it's like the flag run up on top of the palace when the king is at home or in residence. When we have a smile and we manifest the joy of the Lord, we say the King of Kings is sitting on the throne of our hearts. A lady was coming through the subway line in London, England. And the man who collected the tickets asked someone else to take his place, and he said, "Lady, could I speak with you just a moment?" She said, "Certainly." He said, "I've noticed you come through here every day on your way to work, I suppose." And he said, "Whether it's raining or sunshine, whether it's hot or cold, no matter what the world conditions are or the daily news, no matter what your personal problems may be, I've noticed that you always have a smile." And I couldn't help but wonder, how does this lady just seem so pleasant every day? And he said, "One day I noticed that you had a Bible in your hand. And the thought came to me, maybe she gets that smile from the Bible." He said, "So I got me a Bible. And I began to read the Word of God, how God loves a sinner like me, and how He sent His Son to die for me on the cross. And lady, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I want to thank you for your smile. Hey, I think it'd be a good idea if we'd all learn something from that lady. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. But what is the source of that gladness? It comes from the Son of God. One day, a little child was standing under a sunbeam. And she said to her mother, I'm standing where God smiles at me. And you know, some folks, they just manifest such a joy in the Lord. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, has risen with healing in His wings and so flooded that life that others get a blessing from that life. It's letting your light shine that you talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning. But how are we going to have that? We don't go around with a Hollywood smile on our face all the time, happy, 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 happy. But there must be a way to come to that in a growing way. Well, let me go to several scriptures tonight, and let's see if we can learn something. I learned from the Bible that the glad man, and that used to be a handle that I had with the old CBs at the head years ago, the glad man. I don't know how I got it, but anyhow, I had that. The glad man is one who goes to the Lord's house. Listen to David. Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, when you stop to think about it, that's an amazing statement for a king to make. David could have said, I was glad when they had the state banquet. And all of my leaders were there with their wives, and it was such a magnificent event. I was so glad when that happened. That's not what he said. Now, he probably had some wonderful state events. He could have said, I was so happy when I went out and reviewed my troops. Joab and all the others, the leaders of my armies, my well-trained army, I was so happy to review them. Or he could have said, I was so happy when we fought the Philistines and the surrounding enemies, and one by one we defeated them. I was so glad. No doubt it brought him some satisfaction, but that's not what he says here. Or he could have said, I was so glad when I got to go to the Super Bowl of my day. Or some great sporting event. But that's not what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, why did he love God's house so much? Because he loved God so much. He was not a priest. He could not offer sacrifices. He could not go through the religious rituals that they went through. But he said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If I could just be one of the porters at the house of God and be there that often, oh, what a wonderful place that would be. He loved God's house. In Psalm 26 and verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. In fact, he said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." In fact, the house of the Lord is mentioned at least 25 times in the book of Psalms. Over and over again. I wonder if you've loved God's house that way. Now, I know this is a different dispensation than that of David. But there's still something special about God's, where God's people assemble themselves together to worship and to honor the Lord. I got saved on a Sunday night as a 17-year-old teenager. Man, I believe in Sunday night services. And then somebody came along and said, "You know, we have a service in the middle of the week. They call it prayer meeting. And it's a long time between Sundays," said the, you'll want to come to prayer meeting." I said, "Yeah, I need everything I can get." So I started going on Wednesday night. Then the pastor had some fella in, called an evangelist, and what they called a revival meeting. Now you need that. Yes, I do. And so all of my life, all of my Christian life, I've been going to God's house. Different sizes, different places, everything else. But I guess we spend about as much time at church as we do at our house. And I tell you, it's miserable when you don't have church. The last few weeks now, when we started Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee, back in 63, and we had a snowstorm, we didn't know we were supposed to cancel anything. I just figured the people had pretty good judgment. And if it's too bad for them to get out of some of those mountain roads and so forth and so on, then they would come. I didn't criticize them for not coming. But we had services. Nowadays, churches are afraid folks will sue them. And the last few weeks, I don't know how many Wednesday nights we've missed because of bad weather. And one Sunday, we had a Sunday afternoon service, let some of it melt off before the 2 o'clock service and some other things. And I tell you, I feel like a heathen. Not being out at God's house, I just do. I don't know how folks can live without going to church. Let me tell you a little story. When I was first saved, I quit going to the movies. Aren't you proud of me? Well, every time I went to the movies, they wanted money. Yeah. And you know, when I went into the movie house, nobody spoke to me. And when I got sick, the manager of the movie house didn't come to visit me. So I just quit going to the movies. Now, I hope you understand that I didn't quit the movies for those reasons. I happened to get some convictions, I believe, from the Bible that kept me from going out to the movies any longer. I didn't want to support the Hollywood crowd. But listen, I have heard people say, "Well, I went to church, and all they talk about is money." And I tell you, nobody shook my head, because you ran off so quick, nobody got to shake your hand. And they didn't visit me. And I said, "How are they going to know you're sick unless you let them know?" If you're looking for an excuse to stay away from the house of God, there's something wrong in your heart. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But now the second thing, not only is the glad man one who goes to the house of the Lord, the glad man who is one who wants to fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship goes two ways. You talk to someone, they talk to you. You communicate. Fellowship with the Lord is the same. Listen to this. In John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, where do we have the things that Jesus spoke to us today? We have it right here in the Bible. This is the voice of God speaking to us in the precious Word of God. And He gave these words, He breathed these words, and the apostles and the writers of the Scripture wrote down exactly what God wanted them to write so that we might hear His voice and be full of joy. In John 17:13, His high priestly prayer, He said, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Oh, God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be glad men and women. He doesn't want us to go moaning through life. We're to have fellowship with the Lord so that we might be joyful. Now then, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Well, when we read the Word and study the Word and meditate over the Word, it's as though we ate the Word of God. And as we do that and mull it over in our hearts, it will become the joy of our life. That's God talking to us through the Word. Now then, we talk to Him in something called prayer. John 16:24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Oh, listen. Most of our failures today are prayer failures. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. What a teacher. And I've been with some pastors that I've been so blessed by their prayer life. I wanted to learn from them how to pray. The man that led me to the Lord, Dr. H.C. Walton, he was like a daddy to me. And I'd go down to the study in his church, and I would never leave without us kneeling together and him putting his arm around me and praying for me. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Because to learn to communicate with God is such a great joy. And young people, if you never learn anything else, learn to pray. To pray much. And that goes for all of us. So, a glad man is one who fellowships with the Lord. And then the glad man is one who serves the Lord. You remember the three parables our Lord gave in Luke chapter 15? The shepherd went out to find the one lost sheep. And when he found it, he brought it home rejoicing and got all of his friends and neighbors and said, rejoice with me for that which was lost is found. The next parable, the woman lost a coin so precious to her. And she had a house cleaning, and when she found the coin, she rejoiced, and that wasn't enough. She had all the others around her come and rejoice with her. And when the prodigal son came home, oh, notwithstanding the elder brother. He'd pour water, cold water on any party. But the father welcomed the prodigal home and threw a party and killed the fatted calf and all of that, because that which was lost is found. That which was dead is now alive. Huh? Hey, there's rejoicing when you go out and win somebody to Jesus. Or when you invest your life in the things of the Lord and you begin to see some dividends coming in. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own works, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Now those verses do not contradict each other. We bear one another's burdens when we pray for each other and encourage each other. When we challenge one another, we bear one another's burdens. If somebody gets out of fellowship, as it says in the first verse of Galatians 6, we seek to restore them to fellowship. That's bearing one another's burden. What does that other verse mean? "Every man should bear his own burden." That means nobody can do your praying for you. No one can do your witnessing for you. No one can do your giving for you. No one, get this now, can use your abilities. God has gifted every person. And others may try to fill in for you, but no one can take your place. Every man shall bear his own burden. And there's joy in knowing that God is using me. Now, I crossed town this week. Don't you dare go over there. I'll get jealous. But Ron Comfort's preaching. I love Ron Comfort. It was right here in this church that we came through one night when Ron Comfort was here. And he told the folks here that my wife was Joyce's mother. Joyce is his wife, and they do look a lot alike, but she is not our daughter, huh? Well, I love Lon Comfort, and I thank God for his ministry, but I want to know God using me. And God helping me, I don't want to be jealous of any of my fellow evangelists. I want every one of them to be able to win more souls than I do. But I want to know that God's using me. And when I don't know that, it makes me miserable. And you ought to have a great desire and joy in knowing that God is using you. You may be a one-talent person. I think most of you are more than that. But don't go around poor mouth and say, "Well, I just can't do anything." God doesn't create any failure. And God made everybody to be somebody for Him. And the glad man is one who's knowing he's being used of the Lord. And he awaits that day when he can hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then let me go on to say that the glad man is one who, well, I preached on it this morning, but one who knows how to suffer for the Lord. And I emphasize the persecution part of it this morning. But I think we also need to emphasize the fact that whatever trials we go through in life, physical suffering, sometimes domestic things that happen in a home, you may be from an unsaved family or something like that, whatever these are, Peter said to the Christians of his day, if you suffer, don't think it a strange thing, but rejoice inasmuch as you are made partakers of Christ's sufferings. Our Lord suffered. And we should not think it strange if we're called upon to go through some trials in life. And this picture pictures that. Look at the ice. Look at all the negative things here, but look at that flower blooming in the midst of the ice. Huh? Be glad in the ice, huh? No, be glad in the Lord. And we do live in a generation where folks are not as receptive. And that's a grievous thing to me. There's a coldness today in society. Even in some of our churches, there's a coldness. But in spite of that, we are to rejoice in the Lord and be a testimony. We're to be appetizers for the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If we don't manifest the joy of the Lord, how are we going to encourage others to come to the Lord? When Shirley and I travel, of course we eat out a lot. And sometimes we don't know, is this a good restaurant or not? If it has a lot of cars, it's a hopeful sign. There's one car or two cars there, I don't know about that place. But if I start into a restaurant and someone comes out holding their stomach looking sick, I don't want to eat there. I wonder what folks think when so many of the folks leave our churches so downcast, burdened. Oh, yeah, burden. But it's obvious. When we leave our homes, there's not much difference in our attitudes than our neighbors' attitudes. We listened to the morning news just like they did, and it affected us the same way. Maybe because we didn't spend enough time in the Word and in prayer. But for whatever reason, there's not that vibrant joy within a lot of us that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But don't you know about Obamacare? Don't you know there may be a terrorist attack at the Olympics? Don't you know there's a... Yes, 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 I know all of that. But be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright with heart. The Lord's coming back soon. Huh? Lift up your eyes, our redemption draweth nigh. I guess you could sum it up by saying the glad man is one who knows the Lord. What was the difference in Nero, the emperor of Rome, and the apostle Paul in one of the prisons facing death? Nero, he could burn the city and slaughter the Christians and all of that, but he was a miserable, miserable man. But the apostle Paul knew Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he had the joy of the Lord and finished his course with joy. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Say, that doesn't sound like somebody that's groaning and moaning all the way to heaven. Joy, gladness in the Lord. Remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and conviction fell, and he says they were pricked in their heart. And they said, what must we do? And they said, repent and be baptized. Now, they weren't baptized to be saved. They repented and turned to Christ whom they had crucified. but who rose again. And they were wonderfully saved. And it says, then they that gladly received the word. How did they receive it? Gladly received the word. They were baptized and they were added to the church 3,000 souls. And I read on later in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard they were included. And that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile was removed for this church age. And now any unsaved Jew and any unsaved Gentile can come through the blood of the crucified, resurrected Savior into the family of God. And the Gentiles, it says, when they heard it, when they heard this, they were glad. The Ethiopian eunuch had come a long way from his homeland. He had somehow read the Old Testament scriptures and he was considering probably being a convert to Judaism. And he was on his way back home and his spiritual needs had not yet been met. When the Lord called Philip out of a red-hot revival meeting in Samaria, out to the wilderness, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And as he was reading the scroll that had the book of Isaiah in it, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Except some man guide me. And how can this community understand unless some Christian loves him enough to explain? And so Philip got up in the chariot with him and he preached Christ to him. The Ethiopian eunuch was wonderfully saved. And he said, well, what hinders me to be baptized? And so they found some water deep enough for him to be baptized. And what does the scripture say? He went on his way rejoicing. That's the way it is when you get saved. You go on your way rejoicing. And if we opened it up for testimonies tonight, there'd be folks that all over the building that would tell about their salvation experience, different circumstances and so forth, and different emotional responses perhaps. But the Lord brought joy into your life because you knew your sins were forgiven and that you were on your way to heaven. Now, maybe you say, preacher, I didn't have the experience just like so-and-so did. That doesn't matter. But it does matter that you know you're saved because you really can't know the joy of the Lord until you know you're saved. And if you have a question about that, then you need to get that settled right away. Because our desire for everyone here, and for that matter everywhere, is that they might know the Lord and the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Somebody said, since I've been saved, I'm happier now when I'm unhappy than I was before I got saved when I was happy. And you know, you go through trials and valleys as Christians, but you have the Lord with you. And even in times of bereavement and sorrow, you have the Lord of joy in your heart. Father, there's someone here tonight that's never truly come to know the Lord as Savior. I pray that tonight will be the glad night when they will come and receive Him. And I know that that'll make you happy. There'll be joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven, and you're in their presence over one sinner that repents. And Lord, it sure would make us happy as Christians to see sinners come to Jesus this week, beginning tonight. And Lord, it would be so joyful to see backslidden folks come back to the Lord. Crying out with David of old, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. O God, reclaim that wandering one that used to walk with you, but now their hearts grown cold and indifferent toward the things of God. And then help the rest of us, Lord. We're sorry sometime we're not good testimonies. But help us to manifest the joy of the Lord in our lives. And help us to be witnesses for Him. In His name I pray, amen.